And welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So we are starting a new series called Putting Down Roots. And if you've been here at Kingwood United Methodist Church from its very beginning, you know that one of the ways that we have put down roots is to be a missional serving church, and that we find connection and relationship with God, and we try to go deep with those relationships. Instead of going an inch thin and a mile wide, we go thin and deep with the ministry partners that we have. We have some of those ministry partners with us this morning as Lowell's coming up here. Lowell and Claudia Wirtz have been doing ministry in Africa for 40 years. And especially over the last 28 years, they've been doing ministry with Joy in the Harvest, a ministry that we have been deep-rooted partners with for a long time. It's a blessing to have Lowell and Claudia are here on furlough, and their primary reason for being here is to glorify God and to say thank you for the way that we've been in ministry together. Come and share with us your joy, Lowell.
Thanks, Pastor Chris. Couldn't have said it better myself. Let's read today's scripture lesson. Maybe we can stand while we read it if you're able. It's found in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The word of God for you and me, the people of God. There is no way, there is not enough time that I can say thank you enough. You know, missionaries on furlough are not allowed to have favorite churches. Almost not allowed. God bless you, Kingwood United Methodist Church, for decades of love, support, and being of one mind and one purpose. Our passage today, I think the Lord gave to me. It's written four short chapters. It's called the Book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul in his later years, an old missionary writing to a church that he had helped found 10 years earlier, who had just sent him a support gift. And this is his thank you letter. It's the only letter that Paul wrote where he wasn't admonishing a church for its wrongdoing and its weakness. An old missionary, having completed his three great missionary journeys, having laid the foundation for the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the known world. An old missionary, trying to say thank you. Appropriate. Let's set the stage just a moment. The Apostle Paul is in jail. Again. The Philippians had sent him a gift, and he loved them. Oh, he loved them. This letter is his expression of love to that church. He wanted the Philippians to know that even though he was in jail, he had joy. He wanted the Philippians to know that even though they were on the edge of the Roman Empire, the first church founded in Europe, it was the place where Rome would send its retired generals to have their retirement estates, even though they were living among Roman generals as new Christians, they too could have joy. You see, Paul wanted to assure them that life circumstances wasn't what dictated joy, wasn't what gave joy, not Christian joy. He couldn't visit his friends, so he did the next best thing. He wrote this letter to them. And we begin with verse 1. If you look at the key words of verse 1, let's paraphrase verse 1 for a second. Since you have all encouragement from being united with Christ, since in that union with Christ you have comfort from his love, since you have fellowship with the Spirit, since you have God's tenderness and compassion. Here are some key words to focus on: encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, and compassion. You see, these are the joys, the freebies, the ones that you don't have to work for, the ones that are just there for you if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to work for these things. These are yours. Oh, this is where joy begins. Joy begins in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And these are the things that flow out of that. If you are here this morning and you don't know that you have a personal relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe and the Savior of us all, if you don't know that this morning, I encourage you, do not wait another day. Today is the day of salvation. Why wait? Why wait? In my 40 years as a missionary, just last week we celebrated the 40th anniversary of our first arrival in Africa as missionaries. In my 40 years as a missionary, I have found that what Paul is trying to express here is true. That joy comes from knowing and serving Jesus Christ. Ken Enright, one of the longest-serving United Methodist missionaries, once told me, he said, "Lowell, the call to missions is a call to heartache." And you know, there's some truth to that. There's truth to that. Jesus talked about a cross that needed to be picked up every day and carried. It's not the whole story, but it's at least part of the story. And in my experience, I have had those times that were hard. I faced arrest and deportation for trying to save people's lives in the midst of an epidemic. My family was under gunfire for 5 hours. And when we escaped, the print shop, carpenter shop, women's school, and our home were looted, destroyed, and we lost everything. I was the object of an attempted poisoning, which missed me, but it got my son, who almost died. I might add, my son is here this morning. I witnessed the Rwanda genocide up close, and I saw a river flowing with dead bodies. My son-in-law experienced an attempted beheading at the hands of the Muslims and was saved only by Jesus Christ. I faced death threats from supposed Christians and Muslims alike. I have battled witchcraft and cunning and treachery. I've experienced periods when no money came in to help us in Africa. We've had family health crises with no access to health care. And I have buried dear African friends and martyred missionary colleagues. And the list goes on and on. Some of the worst isn't even on this list. Circumstances can be awful. Life can be tough. It's the unusual person that doesn't carry pain in their soul, regret, suffer grief, fear. But you know, Christian joy doesn't come from life circumstances. Christian joy comes from Jesus Christ. Christian joy goes beyond the temporal to an eternal work, an eternal world with hope and promise. Christian joy is available in all of life's circumstances. In the second verse, Paul says, "Now make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose." You see, Paul didn't say, "I've arrived." He said, "There's something still lacking here in my own personal joy." Kind of reminds me of when Steve Jobs would get up and he'd give his big speech, and then he'd reach into his pocket and say, "But there's one last thing." So here's Paul. There's one more thing here that we need to consider. It's Paul's desire for them to go beyond all that they have, all that they were enshrined with in verse 1, to having a unity of oneness of mind while serving God's great purpose. This is Paul's call to action to those that he loved the most. Paul says we must go beyond verse 1. One in spirit and one in purpose. What is the purpose of the Kingwood United Methodist Church? Oh, there are many purposes here. Funerals, weddings, teaching in Sunday school, worship, prayer. Many different purposes are being worked out and expressed here at Kingwood. But there is only one glorious, overarching purpose under which all those things happen. For there is only one great commission that Jesus Christ gave. One in spirit and purpose. But how does this comport? How does this compute with our ordinary daily lives as Christians? You see, God has given to each of us work, responsibilities, individualized work to do. So how does this fit in with this one great purpose that God has for every Christian, and every church? Well, think of the example of World War II. During the war, America's very existence was at stake, and we sent our soldiers out to the front lines. But every American was involved in the war effort. From victory gardens to war bonds to gathering scrap to women going to work in munition plants, every American had to be committed to the war effort. Not every American was a soldier, and so it is with the Christian mission. Not everyone's going to be a missionary to Africa, but everyone's to be involved. Everyone's to be committed. God has equipped each and every follower of Jesus Christ with unique gifts, with unique experiences, with creativity, with intellect, with resources, with many different things to be committed to the great call of Jesus Christ. And there are no exemptions. There are no deferments. But you might be here saying, that was long ago. I felt something special in my heart. It's too late. I'm here to tell you, if you have put yourself on the bench, get off the bench. It is never too late to get involved in the things of God. It is never too late to be committed to His great overarching purpose for us in our lives. And indeed, it is only when we react, it is only when we step out in faith that we will be able to enjoy the full joy and abundance that God has for each of us. The only way we can have the most meaningful, treasured lives possible is by running to the will of God, not running from it. And you see, there is a great adventure waiting for us just beyond the land of self. The late Dr. J. Herbert Kane, the greatest historian of Christian missions of the 20th century, made this statement: God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And when the church ceases to be missionary-minded, it has denied its faith and betrayed its trust. And I am so honored today to stand in the pulpit of a church that has not denied its faith or betrayed its trust. You have fulfilled your faith. And let us continue to do so. I challenge, as Paul challenged the Philippians, I challenge all of us. The church is a missionary team. Too late? Too late for you? Never too late. Several furloughs ago, I was preaching in one of Methodist's tall steeple churches. Maybe your church is a tall steeple church now. It's getting there. I couldn't recognize the place. It's my last visit 7 years ago. And they're very formal. And you had to preach in a robe. So before the sermon, we went in and they robed me up. I don't care what I wear as long as they give me the microphone. I did my thing. I preached my message. We went back to take our robes off, and the pastor sat at his desk, and he put his hand down on his head, on the table, and he started to cry. I said, "Pastor, why are you crying?" He said, "Lowell, I'm just months from retirement, and I've wasted my life, and I've wasted my ministry." And he looked up at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "With God's help, not another day will be wasted." Paul continues, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." Humility is always becoming. Humility is the cloak of love that we can wear because we know the truth about ourselves. I was getting ready to take my very first furlough 37 years ago when the field secretary called me into his office and said, "Lowell, sit down. I'm going to tell you what I was told when I was getting ready to take my first furlough." He said, "When you go to America and all those nice people say all those nice things about you, don't believe them because you know they're not true." We know the truth. And then Paul says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I love the way when you pick up the scriptures, the Great Commission comes bubbling out in so many different ways, in so many different places. I love this expression of the Great Commission. Look not only to your own interests. We have legitimate self-interest. God has given those to us. But look not only to those, but also to the interests of others. Guys, let's keep it in balance. We have responsibilities, but we have a great responsibility that Jesus has given to us. We need to live with the interests of others in our hearts. For there is just one Great Commission. Paul concludes, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Attitude. You know, they taught me in school that an attitude is the hardest thing in the world to change. And Paul holds up Jesus Christ, the gold standard, says, look at him. Look at Jesus if you want to know what your attitude should be. Watchman Nee, the greatest Chinese Christian leader of the 20th century, who spent the last 20 years of his life in a communist prison because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and died there alone, made this statement. The right attitude is this, that I have my own will, yet I will the will of God. So what is this attitude that Jesus had? What is the Jesus attitude that we are to have? Paul wrote in Hebrews 12th chapter, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is the joy of Jesus Christ? Your salvation. Your salvation is his greatest joy. The work of the Great Commission beckons. The joy of salvation is our task. A needy world awaits, and Paul knew that with the right attitude, we can do God's work and accomplish God's will and complete our own joy.